Introduction. This revision to ADP 6.0 represents an evolution of Mission Command Doctrine based upon lessons learned since 2012. The use of the term Mission Command to describe multiple things, the warfighting function, the system, and a philosophy, created unforeseen ambiguity. Mission Command replaced Command and Control, but in practical application, it often meant the same thing. This led to differing expectations among leadership cohorts regarding the appropriate application of Mission Command during operations and garrison activities. Labeling multiple things Mission Command unintentionally eroded the importance of Mission Command, which is critical to the command and control of Army forces across the range of military operations. Differentiating Mission Command from Command and Control provides clarity, allows leaders to focus on Mission Command in the context of the missions they execute, and aligns the Army with joint and multinational partners, all of whom use the term Command and Control. Command and Control, the exercise of authority and direction by a properly designated commander over assigned and attached forces, is fundamental to the art and science of warfare. No single specialized military function, either by itself or combined with others, has a purpose without it. Commanders are responsible for command and control. Through command and control, commanders provide purpose and direction to integrate all military activities toward a common goal, mission accomplishment. Military operations are inherently human endeavors, characterized by violence and continuous adaptation by all participants. Successful execution requires Army forces to make and implement effective decisions faster than enemy forces. Therefore, the Army has adopted Mission Command as its approach to command and control that empowers subordinate decision-making and decentralized execution appropriate to the situation. The nature of operations and the patterns of military history point to the advantages of Mission Command. Mission Command traces its roots back to the German concept of Aufstiegstaktik, literally, mission-type tactics. Aufstiegstaktik was a result of Prussian military reforms following the defeat of the Prussian army by Napoleon at the Battle of Jena in 1809. Reformers such as Gerhard von Scharnhorst, August von Neisenau, and Helmuth von Moltke sought to develop an approach for planning campaigns and commanding large armies over extended battlefields. At the heart of the debate was a realization that subordinate commanders in the field often had a better understanding of what was happening during a battle than the general staff. And they were more likely to respond effectively to threats and fleeting opportunities if they were allowed to make decisions based on this knowledge. Subordinate commanders needed the authority to make decisions and act based on changing situations and unforeseen events not addressed in the plan. After decades of debate, professionalization of the army, practical application during the Danish-Prussian War of 1864, the Austro-Prussian War of 1866, and the Franco-Russian War of 1870, Aufstiegstaktik was codified in the 1888 German drill regulation. In Aufstiegstaktik, commanders issue subordinate commanders a clearly defined goal, the resources to accomplish the goal, and a time frame to accomplish the goal. Subordinate commanders are then given the freedom to plan and execute their mission within the higher commander's intent. During execution, Aufstiegstaktik demanded a bias for action within the commander's intent, and it required leaders to adapt to the situation as they personally saw it, even if their decisions violated previous guidance or directives. To operate effectively under this style of command requires a common approach to operations and subordinates who are competent in their profession and trained in independent decision-making. Aspects of mission command, including commander's intent, disciplined initiative, mission orders, and mutual trust, have long been part of U.S. Army culture. The most successful U.S. Army commanders have employed elements of mission command since the 18th century. Grant's orders to Sherman for the campaign of 1864 and Sherman's supporting plan are models of clear commander's intent, mission orders, and understanding based on mutual trust. When addressing operations orders, the Army's 1905 Field Service Regulation contained the following passage that served as an early discussion of mission orders. An order should not trespass on the province of the subordinate. It should contain everything which is beyond the independent authority of the subordinate, but nothing more. When the transmission of orders involves a considerable period of time during which the situation may change, detailed instructions are to be avoided. The same rule holds when orders may have to be carried out under circumstances which the originator of the order cannot completely forecast. In such cases, letters of guidance is more appropriate. It should lay stress upon the object to be attained and leave open the means to be employed. Eisenhower's general plan and intent for the 1944 invasion of Europe and defeat of Nazi Germany is an example of mission command that guided Allied forces as they fought their way from Normandy to the Rhine and beyond. A more recent example is the 3rd Infantry Division's march to Baghdad in 2003 and the subsequent thunder runs that showed the world that the Iraqi regime was defeated. Retired General David Perkins, a brigade commander during this operation, writes, "These thunder runs were successful because the corps and division-level commanders established clear intent in their orders and trusted their subordinates' judgment and abilities to exercise disciplined initiative in response to a fluid, complex problem, underwriting the risks that they took." Mission command requires tactically and technically competent commanders, staffs, and subordinates operating in an environment of mutual trust and shared understanding. It requires building effective teams and a command climate in which commanders encourage subordinates to take risks and exercise disciplined initiative to seize opportunities and counter threats within the commander's intent. Through mission orders, commanders focus their subordinates on the purpose of an operation rather than on the details of how to perform assigned tasks. This allows subordinates the greatest possible freedom of action in the context of a particular situation. Finally, when delegating authority to subordinates, commanders set the necessary conditions for success by allocating resources to subordinates based on assigned tasks. Commanders need support to exercise command and control effectively. At every echelon of command, commanders are supported by the command and control warfighting function, the related tasks, and a system that enables commanders to synchronize and converge all elements of combat power. Commanders execute command and control through their staffs and subordinate leaders. This publication provides fundamental principles on mission command, command and control, and the command and control warfighting function. Key updates and changes to this version of ADP 6.0 include combined information from ADP 6.0 and ADRP 6.0 into a single document, command and control reintroduced into Army doctrine, an expanded discussion of command and control and its relationship to mission command, revised mission command principles, command and control system reintroduction along with new tasks and an updated system description, expanded discussion of the command and control system. ADP 6.0 contains 4 chapters. Chapter 1 provides an overview of mission command, command and control. It describes the nature of operations and the Army's operational concept and how it is enabled by the mission command. It then discusses the function of command and control and how commanders create conditions for mission command to flourish. The chapter concludes with a discussion on the command and control warfighting function. Chapter 2 defines and describes command. It describes the nature of command, provides the elements of command, describes the role of the commander in operations, and offers guides to effective command. Chapter 3 defines and describes control and its relationship to command. It discusses the elements of control and guides to effective control. Finally, this chapter discusses the importance of knowledge management and information management as they relate to control. Chapter 4 discusses the command and control system that performs the functions necessary to exercise command and control. This includes a discussion of the people, processes, networks, and command posts that are components of the command and control system. It also discusses command post design and organization considerations.